Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Late Night Sprites. Late Night Sprites is a laid-back, chill video game and nerdy topic-based podcast hosted by yours truly, that's me, Homecoming Hero. If you are new, thank you so much for stopping in. If you are not new, thank you so much for sticking around. And this is the Valentine's Day special. I didn't even do a Christmas special last year. Every Thanksgiving, I just do a buyer's guide of games that I think people should buy. Why am I doing a Valentine's Day special? Because this game embodies Valentine's Day. Today, I am talking about a game that I love so much that it made it on my top games of the year list last year. That game is Thirsty Suitors. I am going to be going a little deep into it, and this game is very story-centric, so if you are not interested in being spoiled and you end up wanting to experience the game, please come back to this episode later. I'm not going to go into deep details or endgame spoilers, but I am going to be sharing some base information, especially about the first half of this game, to really let people know what this game's all about. But I will not share anything about the final boss or the last, like, 2-3 hours of this game. This game's about 10 hours, so I will not share about the finale of Thirsty Suitors. But many people wonder, what is Thirsty Suitors? This was revealed at the 2022 Game Awards with the tagline of "Face your exes, disappoint your parents." Already I was on board because it reminded me of Scott Pilgrim, and it looked really cool. I didn't know what the game was about, but it was coming out. Then it was coming to Game Pass, and it came out in November of 2023, and it hit Game Pass. Picked it up, I went right through it, and I played through the game quite a bit, and I loved it, and I beat it, and I put it on the list. So, Thirsty Suitors is about Jala. Jala and the inner monologue inside her head, which is her older sister, who she is not on good terms with. You follow Jala as she heads back to her hometown. She heads back to where her parents live. She moves back in with her parents after a really bad breakup. But, oh no, your exes, Jala's exes, have not left town. They are there and they remember you. Some of them are interested in dating you. Also, the random encounters of the people you have to fight in this game. Apparently, Jala's grandma set her up on a dating app, and there are thirsty suitors, thus where the title comes from. There are suitors all across town who are here to fight you, and you gotta fight them. This game is a turn-based RPG with rhythm game-based mechanics, so every time you do like an input, it's like left, up, down, timing the button. It's like part rhythm game, part RPG. And I think that's really neat. You navigate Jala trying to readjust the people she left behind, hopefully dealing with these exes and their relation to Jala, and also dealing with all of these suitors in town. There's also like a bear who is a skateboarder who is running like a gang in town, and you gotta deal with that bear because that bear is leading the youth of the town astray, and you gotta put a stop to that. And that is basically Thirsty Suitors. But combat is not the only name of the game in this story. First off, the story in this game is incredibly well written. It is the strongest fact of this game. If you like Scott Pilgrim, you will like this game. Imagine Scott Pilgrim, but you're Ramona, and you don't have a Scott Pilgrim fighting for you. That's right, you are facing this lead's character's head. Well, yes, characters. You are facing this lead character's exes head on. You are facing the evil exes yourself. And you might find out that maybe these exes aren't like the ones from Scott Pilgrim. Maybe these exes have a bit more to them. And those are the boss fights. There's normal combat with the enemies, specifically the suitors. But then there's also the boss fights. And they are very interesting because basically the idea for the RPG is you have your normal attack, but you are playing off of emotions. You go to this like emotional plane, and you have to do specific emotional things that might cause status effects to these characters, whether it's making them angry, whether it's making them impressed with you, whether it's making them... One of my favorites is the thirsty one. You can just be super flirty, and that can trip up your enemy. So maybe there's a little bit of, you know, kindling between you and these exes, or in case of the boss fights, or you and these suitors, only for you to then use an attack that complies with that emotion more to do even more damage. So that's the thing, because everything is color-coded. So you'll see that some of these attacks coincide with the emotions that you're doing. And after you successfully, say, make someone angry, you want to do an attack that is the color of the angry status so that you can inflict even more damage. And that's how combat works in Thirsty Suitors. You walk around town, you get into fights, and you navigate through the story, and there are side quests. And then there are, of course, food items, stat items. You have HP, and then also special points. That's how you do your specials. And that's about it in terms of the gameplay. Oh, wait, I was wrong. There's more. There's skateboarding. You get to skateboard around town, and there are skateboarding mini games, and also there are cooking mini games. So basically, when you are with your parents, you can cook dishes, whether for specific side quests or for yourself, and later on in the day, they will be leftovers. And with the leftovers, you get to use those as healing items and stat boosters in battle. So cooking is also really essential, and it's like a free resource that you get to use as much as you want, and that's something I love. Like, sometimes the game makes you cook for a quest or for the story, but most of the time you don't have to, and I think it's like super great. It's really, really cool. And then the cooking minigame has its own like meter of effectiveness that you have to, you know, impress your parent. And I love that too. And that one is like the rhythm game. So you have to swipe at the right time. You have to hit the button at the right time. You have to mash and fill the meter in time. So the combat works as well as that. The skateboarding I actually didn't end up really working well with, and is... I did as little skateboarding as possible. A, I don't really play Tony Hawk, and B, everything in this game, this is my one major complaint. The music is great, the presentation is great, the writing is great, the characters are great. Seeing Jala navigate with her relationship with her family, her relationship with her sister, who she might not be on the best terms with, her aunt, but also her relationships with her exes, her friends, the people in town. I love it, and it's really well done and really well written. And this game has some... if you want a piece of media that has great representation, this piece of media has amazing representation of lots of, like, first off, of culture. I played this game last year, Venba, also on Game Pass, and this was... Thirsty Suitors was the last game I played on Game Pass. I sold my Xbox. Thirsty Suitors was the last piece of media I went through on Game Pass. And to say this was a great swan song for me in my relationship to my Xbox, absolutely. This was an incredible game, and I love it. That being said, in terms of representation, it's just so good. It's so good. It represents people from India super well, and it's like really cool. It does family dynamics really well. It represents a lot of different cultures in this game. It's not just people from India, and I really love that. And then it also represents a lot of different forms of sexualities. I don't really dive deep into that, but it represents people from different sexualities as well. The LGBTQ side of things is represented very well in this game with the characters, and it's very natural. A lot of these characters you can feel are real people who live in this world, and the fact that Jala, your lead character, is responsible for some of their story arcs makes it that much more engaging. That's the thing that I love. It's Jala facing her exes head on. It's Jala dealing with her past and trying to move forward. And the place that you start in as Jala, you start in as Jala after a bad breakup, not on the best terms with your family, and going back to a town full of her past is such a good starting point. And this story is so well written. It's really funny also. There's a lot of really good humor in this game. The writing is really good. The music is super good. Specifically when you fight one of Jala's exes in this like plane, the boss themes are really good. They are just super well written, but also like the level themes, the in-between themes, the credits music, all of the music in this game is really good. The presentation is super stylish and this game looks good. It goes for this cel shaded look and it looks really good. There's some stuttering when you're like doing skateboarding or you're in motion, but that's fine. I'm not really a stickler for that. And that's like one bit that I did need to point out. The big complaint that I will say, looping back around because I didn't get to that point yet, is that everything is at face value. You don't really get a deeper form of combat. You don't get a deeper form of cooking. You don't get a deeper form of skating. Everything is, the best way to put it, entry level. So the way you fight at the beginning of the game is the way you fight for the rest of the game. Yes, you get some really cool added bonuses, like you get summons and stuff, and those are really cool, like calling on your mom for help or calling on your aunt later on. And then the summons are also an incentive for the side quests, which I think is like really cool. So that's a neat little bonus, but everything is very like water level. It's very on the surface. The way your game controls when you start is the way it is when it finishes. You learn all of the mechanics pretty easily, and the game will give you all of your hints as the battles are going on. Like, you are learning things, like, not in a tutorial sense, but you are given hints right away. Like, even before you enter a boss, you will get a hint saying, oh, you gotta, the boss is right here. Are you ready? Are you sure you're ready? And yeah, you get hints from your uncle. And I do love that. I do love whenever he shows up. I love his soundbite. And you even get hints in the middle of boss fights. You are learning mechanics. So the game is a little hand-holdy and the game is very basic on the surface, but it's still fun. The fights are fun, the cooking is fun, and this game is also only like 9 to 10 hours long. I powered through this game in about 2 to 3 sittings, and I absolutely adored it. I was stuck with it for the writing, I was stuck for it for the character interactions, I stuck with it for all of that, so even if the gameplay became a little mind-numbing at points because it was just the same thing over and over again, this game is also relatively easy. I didn't get a single game over once, and I accidentally power leveled. I didn't know how hard the game was going to get, so I ended up grinding suitors for about half of a play session, and you could tell that I did, because I started one-shotting suitors at one point and one-shotting basic enemies, and then two or three shotting bosses. It got a little crazy, especially because not only was I leveled up, not only did I have healing items and had gotten the bonuses for doing the side quests, but also because of the main mechanic that I mentioned earlier of using these different emotions to win in a fight. Because if you try using an emotion on a character and it doesn't work, they will shrug it off. But then you will get a color-coded hint to see what emotion will work on them, and suddenly it's your next turn, and you are given the advantage. So yes, this game is super easy. Yes, this game is super hand-holdy. And yes, the gameplay is super basic, but it is great in terms of its writing, it is great in terms of its representation, it's great in terms of its music, and its humor, and its characters. Like, not to say the same thing over and over again, but that's how much I really enjoyed this game. I enjoyed it so much that the flaws that I had really didn't bother me or seem that big. I wasn't going to make mountains over molehills because the good outweighed the bad in so many ways. The final boss, though, I will say, is also super abrupt. The final boss just kind of comes out of nowhere. It feels like the game kind of rushes through its story a little bit, and I wish it was longer. Maybe this game will get DLC. Maybe this game will get a sequel. I hope this dev team finds nothing but success. I hope this dev team makes a physical version of this game so I can support it and physically own it on my shelf with my physical indie games. That's how much I enjoyed it. Package it with a poster or something, please. But, yeah, my favorite piece of music for this game is called Reflecting, and I have listened to it so many times. I've just put it on repeat and then just sat back and relaxed with it. I've even fallen asleep with this song. It is so soothing and so calm, but so good. Like, it is such a good, relaxed song. It's definitely one of my favorite pieces of music in this game. But with that being said, this game won't run you too long. The story is pretty easy to go through. And this game might even be shorter if you skip the side content, which you can do, but I wouldn't recommend doing. It adds to this game, and it also makes the ending of this game, which again, I'm not going to spoil, a little bit sweeter. The ending of this game is done incredibly well. Like, the final boss might be rushed and come out of nowhere, but when you get in the last 3 to 4 hours of this game, they do hit the gas, but the moments that they have are, like, really good. And some of them are super unexpected. Like, this game went in a few directions that I was not expecting in terms of its story, and I have to commend it on the twists that it had. But thank you so much for listening to this bonus episode of Late Night Sprites. Well, bonus if you are listening to it at the time of it being uploaded, because then it's like the same day as the Foam Stars thing. Speaking of which, if you have not and you are in the future listening to this, yes, I looked at Foam Stars, I talked about it, and I highly recommend doing that, looking at that episode. If you are new here, please consider following the podcast and giving it a look. I try to upload content once a week, in this case, twice a week. So if you're following on Spotify, there might be some instances where I record and upload an episode early and then share it on social media later. So for people who are following, you technically got 2 episodes in one day. And if you weren't, it looks like they were a week apart. But as you see, the upload days were the exact same. And I just shared them on different days. And I had, like, creative inspiration. So I just decided to upload and make both episodes in one day. But that's enough rambling. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. There are tons of episodes to check out aside from the Foam Stars one. One that I like to recommend that I did last summer was Golf Games. I had started watching the anime Birdie Wing, so I just did this really long stretch on Golf Games. So feel free to listen to that. If you want something from this season, I did, if you want some recommendations, also did a list on games that I find super relaxing and super easy to relax to and with. But thank you so much for listening to this episode. Take care of yourself. Take care of your mental health. I am Homecoming Hero, and I will see you on the next episode of Late Night Sprites. Take care.